Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
All right, guys, welcome back. Earn Your Leisure. This is going to be a special episode for us, for sure. I'm excited. But before we start, we got some very exciting news. So DMV, everybody's been asking us to come to the DMV. If you follow Earn Your Leisure, you know we're moving around the country. We went to L.A., we went to Houston, we went to Atlanta, we went to Brooklyn, we went to Chicago. So, DMV, we saved the best for last. We are planning our biggest event ever. so far.
Yeah, to date.
Yeah, to date. In DMV, and that will be on December 7th and December 8th. Yeah. And it's a whole weekend takeover, so I'm going to explain this as best as I possibly can. So December 7th, we are having a workshop at Topgolf, and we're catering it. And it is going to be with two of our biggest EYL alumni, Mobile Home Elite and my guy, Wall Street Trapper. So we're going to talk about mobile home investing and stock market investing. Two of the hottest episodes. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
That's going to be a whole lot.
I'm excited for it myself.
So that's the 7th. On the 8th, we're doing our very first live podcast. And we're doing that at Capital One Arena. That's where the Wizards play.
Home of the Wizards, home
they're
of the Capitals.
They're giving us the court. And we're going to do it on the basketball court. But that's not it, right? So we're going to do the podcast on the basketball court. After the podcast, we got a private networking event for everybody that comes to the podcast. And after the private networking event, everybody that comes to the podcast has tickets to the Wizards-Clippers game. We got the whole Section 108 to ourselves.
Yeah, it's going to be big.
Shout out to our guy.
Shout out to Chirani and everybody over at Live Nation.
Shout out to the good people at Live Nation. And shout out to Chirani for sure. 914 Love.
Yeah, Mount Vernon.
And load management will not be in effect that day. I have word. I got word from Doc Rivers himself.
Doc called us.
Kawhi Leonard will be playing.
PG going to be back by that
Paul
time,
Paul George will be back. One of the best teams in the NBA. So, yeah. So, you got a couple different options here. You can either come just to the workshop, or if you want the VIP experience, you can come to the workshop, and you can come to the podcast and the game. Or if you can't make it, you can live stream it. And the live stream is like $15.
$15, yeah.
Yeah, we had some issues, so we're doing this out of courtesy. It's going to be – the internet's going to be working. It's at Top Golf, so we're going to be good. So, all right. All the information is on our website on the events tab. Check the link in our bio if you're interested.
Yeah, hit the events tab, y'all.
Now we're going to get straight to it. We got my guy, Brandon Medford. So I'm going to give the quick backstory. So my guy, MG the Mortgage Guy, he DM'd me a few months ago like, yo, you need to get these guys on the show. And I'm like, I wasn't aware what they had going on. And he was like, yo, you need to get him on. I'm like, all right, I'm looking at it. And then people just started DMing me like, yo, you can get this guy on, you can get these guys on. So I'm like, all right, let me really look into it. And then I looked on their page, and they were some young guys, and they was moving around like like Alpo and Rich Porter.
It's straight New Jack City vibes. Yo. Straight New Jack City vibes, yo. For real.
They was moving around. I'm like, all right, what's going on here?
Yeah, they living the hopping out of Florence life.
Yeah, for sure. So these guys is doing their thing. So he has two partners. So they have three car dealerships in New York, LA, and Miami. And they got a whole vibe with the car buying experience. We're going to talk about it. But they sell cars to rappers, athletes, entertainers. Some of their clients, Meek Mill, Rich the Kid, Isaiah Whitehead, Sean Kilpatrick from the NBA. So, you know, they doing big things. And they're young. All of them are under 30 years old.
Okay.
I mean, Brandon is 27 years old. So they own their own car dealerships. And they have celebrity clients, but they also do a lot of community give back as well.
Absolutely.
Which I like. And they just got a whole entrepreneur vibe, and they the neo entrepreneurs, they doing it their way. They're not conforming to anybody's standards. So, and they've been featured in Forbes. Last year, revenue of over $5.6 million.
Yeah.
And their goal for end of 2020 is to do $15 million in revenue. Yeah. So
Forbes, Essence, Black Enterprise, y'all over.
All over.
Yeah.
now earn your leisure.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, man, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
No, thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it.
Nah, for sure. So let's jump right into it. All right. So you're 27 years old and you have three car dealerships, but we're going to talk about how you got into the car ownership business. So you said you told me that you started off selling cars originally, right?
Yeah, I was selling cars. Started from 2011 till 2013.
Okay, and so then you said you made the switch over to the other side of things where you were a manager.
Yeah, I was a finance manager.
Yeah, okay.
Finance manager for about 2 years, and became a finance director. So I oversee the whole finance department with approvals, compliance, DMV regulations, and whatnot.
You said you made a huge decision with your last $11,000 that you had of going to Arizona, right?
Yeah, I was a salesperson at the age of 21. I was trying to be a finance manager in a dealership in Long Island. I was the only minority, most finance managers in the business.
What's a finance manager?
Finance manager is the person that actually gets your deal approved with the bank and sits down with the client and sells them aftermarket products to protect their investment.
So that's the guy in the back room.
Yes, right? The last guy you see.
The sales floor, then they're like, oh, come to the back room, and that's the,
yes,
you're
that's
guy?
The finance manager.
Got you.
I was that guy. So I wanted to be that guy when I was selling cars, but they told me, no, we want to keep you at sales. You're doing great. You're selling 20 cars a month. Because obviously they don't remove their best sales guy because now they're not going to sell as much cars. So I said, nah, I'm cool. I'm cool off it. I don't want to do it. So I enrolled myself into Automotive Dealer Institute, which is a finance course for 4 weeks. It was $10,000 for the course. I had $11,000 left in my account. I spent the whole 10 just to go to the school. And everybody was telling me that's the worst decision I could ever do in my life.
It's like an online school?
No, it's a class you go to. You have to be there for 4 weeks. So every week is something different in training.
So you had to live in Arizona for a month?
In a hotel.
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice, yeah, huge sacrifice. Yeah.
So you spent the 10 and lived off the 1?
I lived the 1. $1,000 for
how'd that, how'd that work out for you?
Well, you know, in the hotel, they get you get free breakfast.
No. I'm just saying, How did taking the course?
That is true, though.
I had to be up at 6 to get the breakfast.
And
no. How did taking the course work out for you?
Oh, it was the best decision I ever did in my life. Ever. The best decision. If it wasn't for that decision, I wouldn't be here right now. I took the course. The course was amazing. I left. As soon as I came back, back to New York, it was Thanksgiving time. So I just worked my last week at the dealership I was working at before. I shook their hands before I even got a new job. I went to 2 places to get a job. Both of them gave me the opportunity. But one gave me an immaculate opportunity to be a finance manager for 5 dealerships. Hmm. So instead of me just being for Honda, I had the opportunity to work for Honda, Kia, Acura, Toyota, and Kia because they're on the same, they're owned by the same person. So I took the opportunity making horrible money. I was actually, what I was offered was a little bit less than I was making before, but I knew what it was gonna bring me to. You know, taking that step, taking that one step back to take 3 steps forward.
Mm. Powerful.
So, all right, and then you ended up in LA, right?
Yeah, I ended up in LA 4 years. I was a finance manager at that store, and then I went to another dealership, and I became a finance director. I ran that store, did an amazing job, we helped change a lot of lives, and then I got an opportunity to go to LA. And you know, what kid from New York doesn't want to go to Hollywood? You know, that's like, Hollywood? Yeah, I'm going.
Sign me up.
Talking about the weather, 70 degrees all year?
Sign me up.
Come on, leave the fur at home.
Leave the fur at home. I like that. So, all right, so you get to Hollywood. And who you working? You said you was working at Honda?
Honda. I had an opportunity to work at a Honda dealership and also be part of to have a minority program to eventually be part owner of the store. Hmm. So it was something big for my career. So I was like, let's go. Let's do it. You know, so I made the choice. I had no friends in LA. I have no family. It's 3,000 miles away from New York. Hmm. So I left, went to Hollywood by myself. And did what I had to do.
Where were you living at in LA?
Downtown LA.
Oh, downtown LA.
Yeah, LA was a different experience. They closed at 1:45.
Yeah, everything's closed. Everything's closed.
New York.
Yeah. So, all right. So how old were you at that point?
I was 25.
That trip to LA ends up changing everything for you, right? You have a meeting with some friends that you knew from middle school.
One friend, and then a stranger. Yeah.
So, all right. So, what happened with the commission, the meeting.
Yeah, so
big three.
I was working in LA, you know, I was exceeding my expectations because they thought, how can you do this here in the East Coast? You're not gonna be able to do it in the West. So I said, if I do XYZ, are you willing to pay me XYZ? Hey, no problem. It hasn't been done out there. So of course, I did it. I did what I had to do. But doing what I had to do, pay plan came involved, you know, we want to pay you this amount of money, you're making more than this, politics. You know, I don't have time to play politics with anybody. So I met Eric. Eric is a friend of mine that I know since middle school, talking about back since 2005, 2006. So Eric came to LA on a vacation with Dave. So he called me as soon as he landed. He's like, yo, I'm in L.A. Because, you know, when you're from New York, you don't know a lot of people in L.A.
Find the closest person to New York. Yeah.
So he called me up. Yeah, I said, come out. So we linked up, actually. And then we had fun the whole weekend. And then it was one night when we was just talking about, you know, working in the dealership, working for other people. We was joking around. So we came up with a plan. And once they left, you know, you're in the clouds while you're making the plan. It sounds good. Yeah. But until you get back to reality, I'm back at work. Get back in New York at work. I was like, okay, are we going to go with the plan and whatnot? So during that week after they left, I was going through it with my job. So I just left. I quit.
You quit before. All right. So you had a plan to start your own dealership.
We had a plan. It was an idea. We had nothing concrete. It was just an idea. It was just talk. Yeah. We're just manifesting everything.
No, that's important. And they were in the car business as well?
Correct.
So you quit your job before you even had a solid.
100%.
Just like, I'm done.
I'm done.
The plan was that good.
Plan was that good, but just the belief in yourself is that better.
Even better, yeah.
You know, when you have that confidence in yourself, knowing that you could do anything anywhere, and that's what L.A. really showed me. It showed me that I left New York, where I'm from, to go to transition to 3,000 miles away where I don't know anybody, and I became a better person. Once I did that, I'm like, we could do this anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you quit your job, and then do you call the guys like, I just quit, so we got to do this? Or, like,
y'all need y'all to come back to LA.
That conversation
we started talking about it. It's like, yo, you know, I left.
They're like, I didn't tell you to do that.
It was like, because I was making the most money out of all three of us. Like, you left? It's like, why would you leave making $500,000 to do? I said, bro, it's just the idea we had sounds so great. I think we should do it. So when I left, I packed my bags, came back to New York, obviously. And then from there, we started. I came back. I was living in a nice high-rise condo in L.A. I moved back to my father's basement where I was living at originally. So I went back on the same couch that I was staying at when I was younger. So I moved back into my father's basement. And I said, we're going to start up. So we was actually doing this from the back seat of a 2017 Honda Accord. We started selling cars. And then from there, we just grew the brand.
What was that reaction like when you came back home? Was it humbling? And were your parents
you really got to be extremely humble, because everybody knew me out here as this big guy. Like, I was in flashy cars from 21. I had three cars at 23 years old. I had a Range Rover, brand new i8 when the i8 first came out, the doors go up, and a brand new 650, to now coming back in a white Honda Accord. So people looking at you,
a lot of things unchanged.
It's like, bro, what happened? You fell off, you know what I'm saying? But like, I think I needed that to humble myself down, to really to get down to the grind.
You know, one thing I like about this podcast is that we interview entrepreneurs and investors, and everybody kind of has similar type of stories. Sound familiar, Troy?
Yeah, man. This is sounds like my man Alex.
Alex Good Energy. Shout out to Alex Good Energy. One of our top episodes. He has a trucking business. He's making $100,000 a month in Atlanta with trucks and an online portal and a whole bunch of other stuff. Same situation. He was in Miami in a high rise, living a high life, and went broke and had to move back into his mother's and stayed down for like 10 months and didn't get a haircut or anything.
Same story.
And now he's on top of the world. So yeah, I say that to say, a lot of times people don't understand, like, you when you're a business owner, it's ups and downs in this game. Like, it's not just a straight peak up. Like, you gotta be able to weather the storm. Yep. And you gotta keep your composure, because it's never gonna be all good. You gotta ride out the bad times. No,
you could lose a couple pounds trying to maintain, man.
Everybody's not built for it.
110%.
So, all right. So now we got the backstory. So in the next segment, we're going to talk about how you guys actually got the business off and running, and then the details of the car business. All right. So now we got the backstory. And you guys, all right. So all you guys were young, mid-20s, decided that you're going to start your own business. So can we talk about the beginning stages? All right. So, like, what happens to start your own car dealership? Like, how does that happen?
I feel like the odds are stacked against you, right? Only 6% of the 18,000 dealerships in the country are minority owned.
So minority owned out of 6%, it's 1% that's black.
I was about to say, what is minority? What does that mean? One percent.
That's like less.
So we are like the 1% on the other side. Not 1% like in, you know, United States, the richest people.
Yeah.
We're not 1% of the people who actually own
it. Well, I told you when you came here, I've never seen a car dealership owned by anybody that was black. I've never seen it until now with you. So we need you to do us a favor and tell us everything.
How?
How
do we make this happen?
Now it's very hard, only because, you know, first of all, at the end of the day, you're in white America. You know, let's just be real about it. You're in white America, you're minorities, and you're asking dealerships to trust you when they don't even know your background and they don't even know who you are and they don't even know where you're. Like, we're literally going to dealerships, and when we started, asking them to give us all their access to inventory, to banks, you know, and dealerships has been burned by many brokers across the world during the last 10 years. So it's something that they're scared because they have investments of millions of dollars into their store. Now, to let you get all that investment and burn it, so it's very difficult. You know, like, we went through a lot trying to just to get the shot, the opportunity. You know, so what we did, especially when we started, we went back to the people in the stores where we worked at. Mm. So I started my relationships there because I left off great. Mm. You know, you never want to burn your bridge. So I went back to the stores that I worked at to try to use them so we could start from somewhere else, you know, start from somewhere. So I used my relationships and the people I know to help me out, to ask for help, you know, and then also using our expertise on how can we really change the game and make it different from what everybody else is doing.
So, all right. So you asked, you worked at Honda, right?
I worked at Honda.
So, okay. So you go to Honda, you ask them for help, but what does that help mean? Like, what did they do for you?
Meaning, like, let me use your inventory.
So, like, the cars that don't sell?
Or? No, the cars. Well, first, yeah, you got to, like, that's one of the things we went to. Right. Like, you have a bunch of old age units that you're about to lose money on.
What's that?
Old age units means that any car that's in stock for more than 90 days, dealerships lose money.
Okay.
They start to lose money.
Okay.
Because none of the cars that's at their dealership, the dealership actually owns. These cars are owned by the bank. So the bank has something called a floor plan, which dealerships pay a certain amount of interest. Mm-hmm. But if they hold it for more than 90 days, the interest goes up. Mm. Mm-hmm. So give us all your old inventory. Let's help you move it. So it's a win-win. We're helping you move inventory, and you're helping us get our name out. So mm-hmm. that's what we started to do.
Okay. So you're like a broker.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, so you didn't have a physical location.
Nah, no, look, we was doing this in the back of a 2017 Honda Accord, which I still own.
And what do you mean in the back of a Honda Accord?
Like, that's where we were. That was our office.
So you were sitting in the back of a car?
Back of a car.
That must be.
But
a lie.
Why?
We had no place. We had no money to get a place.
Like, where were you living? Like, you just go in your bedroom?
No, I didn't have a bedroom at the time. I was staying in my father's basement in the den.
So y'all are literally drawing up the map in the back seat, and somebody obviously in the car, and you're like, yo, we're going to hit this dealership. We're going to hit this one.
Yeah.
Yo, that's yours from three
Correct.
Years ago.
Yep.
That's yours.
100%.
And perfect.
Just like that. In the back seat of the car, we was going to dealerships. We was working together. That was our office, that car.
Interesting. So, okay. So they agree to let you sell their old inventory, right?
Correct.
Now what do you do after that?
Now you try to find the clients. That was like, now how are we going to get the clients? How do we get the clients to not go to a dealership but come to trust these three minorities? Mm-hmm. You know, so actually what I did, I went back to where I'm from. I had to touch the urban community, you know, so I went back to the urban lifestyle. Like, I went to, honestly, too, I hit the streets, hit the clubs, hit the urban clubs, I hit the gentlemen's club. Like, I hit places.
Gentlemen's club.
Like, seriously. I hit places, no, because at the end of the day, you got to think about it. The internet, especially with the millennials, a lot of these influencers are from, like, the urban culture.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, they have a big influence, a lot of people. So that's why I really tapped into the urban lifestyle with people who already know me and have the trust in me and knew I was selling cars before. Yeah. You know, so instead of going straight to corporate, I had to touch what's in front of me first. So I touched that. And then from there, we started to grow because a lot of people from those urban clubs and whatnot have huge followings, 100,000, 300,000, right. 400,000, millions of followers. So we started touching that. From there, we started to grow. We sold 21 cars our first month.
So are we talking, obviously you got Hondas in there, but like I'm imagining you're going to clubs and you're meeting people, obviously you're networking. You're not pitching Honda Pilots, though. Like, you're telling
them. Nah, I get you anything. I can get you a Mercedes. I can get you BMW. And I'm telling you this before I even got the contact.
I was going to ask
you. That's what I'm saying.
we don't even have the contact yet.
You're putting
yet.
The pressure on yourself.
But,
like, yeah, oh, we got
to
do this.
I know that if I can lock in a deal with you, when I go to the dealership, I'm coming correct. I already have a client ready, credit application, money. I need your help. Let's go. Let's do this together.
So, all right. So, okay. So you're selling a product that you don't have. I like that. You're selling a product that you don't have, but you're confident that you can get it.
I can get it.
So, all right. When was the first time somebody said, okay, I want a Mercedes? What the first client that wanted something that you didn't have?
Like our first client we ever sold.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Perfect.
Why not?
Perfect time to
so,
sold.
What was that?
She wanted a pre-owned, she wanted, shout out to Denise, by the way, our first client for PTG ever.
What did she do?
She wanted a pre-owned,
what did she do?
She was a bartender.
Bartender.
At one of these urban clubs.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Perfect. It all makes sense now. Okay.
She was a bartender at one of these urban clubs, and obviously, I try to pitch her something that we have, and she says, okay, I'll give you an opportunity. I want a 2015 BMW X6 pre-owned. We had no pre-owned contacts. I never worked for a pre-owned dealership. So I said, all right, no problem. I got a hand, actually, on a loose leaf paper, because we had no credit application. We just started. On a loose leaf paper, I had to fill out her information. Seriously, I had to fill out her first name, last name, address. Because I worked in dealerships, so I know information I need.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to fill out information, loose leaf paper, get a copy of her license, and I started going from store to find this car on foot. I found this car at Mitsubishi Brooklyn. Shout out to El Patron for giving me the opportunity to sell our first car for PTG. And then he believed in us, another young cat, and he gave us the opportunity, and then we sold our first car for PTG that day.
So, all right. Well, shout out to El Patron. I told you I like these guys. They got the bartender and they got the connect from El Patron. It's a whole vibe. They got a whole vibe going. So all right. So how does that work with the broker? It's interesting. I didn't know that you could be a broker from a car dealership. I thought you had to actually work in a car dealership.
Because what we do, we decide to buy low, sell low. So if I could buy a car for a low price, I'm not going to sell it to you high because we're moving volume. We're trying to just create the brand, spread the name. You know, so our whole model is buy low, sell low. We buy it for low cost and we sell it to you low. They're not even dealerships can even at this point now can even match, sometimes even match the price of what we're selling it to you for.
So and all right. So like if that BMW was like $50,000, you have to buy it from the dealership and then you're selling it, right?
Well, if it's a pre-owned car, I'm not gonna buy it from the dealership. I'm gonna create an agreement with them for the vehicle. You know, I'm not gonna buy it. They could keep the car. We're gonna run everything through the store, but I'm gonna get the client.
Same thing as leasing.
Okay. All right, so then you do that, you're off and running, and then you got 20 other sales that month.
And that one repost from her brought more clients. You know, you see what the model I'm going for?
So the bartender, she was an influencer.
She's one
How
of
many followers this year?
About 100,000 at that time. I don't know about now.
And she like you like you put like a bow on the car for her. And
we had no, we didn't have a Red Bull that first sale.
Okay. That came later.
We couldn't afford to get a Red Bull at the time. Started after.
Still trying to get gas.
No
bow, office.
No confetti, just a picture and a car. You know.
So all right. So you got all right. So then from there, you're up and running, and you're developing these relationships. I'm assuming. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're developing these relationships with different car dealers.
Correct.
And you're kind of like the middleman, in a sense, where you're going to these car dealerships, you're getting cars that's not really selling.
Correct.
You're selling it to people, and then you're getting profit off of that.
Correct.
But you still don't have a physical location yet.
No.
But you're building up. So at what point do you decide to get a physical location?
We got a physical location in February where we came off our worst month ever, which was January. We sold 10 cars in January. Which is
of this
horrible.
Year?
No. Uh-oh. It's 2018.
Okay.
We started November 2017. We sold 21. December we sold like 20, and then January we sold 10, which so, nobody could afford any type of lifestyle or even to feed their family. So we're selling 10 cars.
So you were doing it for a year with no physical location.
No, we was doing it for four months. And then we said, you know, we need to get a location. We need to sit down. So we decided to get a small little office. In a Regis building.
Okay.
You know, spending like $1,400 a month. That's what we had.
Okay.
All right, so when somebody came to the office now, do you have a catalog of what you can do, or you just sit down and say, what do you want, and we'll go get it?
Correct. We had no catalog. We were just working everything based off the internet. Like, we used to run around every morning to take pictures of cars on everybody else's lot. Yeah, and then post it ourselves. Remember, this is February. It's cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, Dave will go to Honda. I will go to Mercedes. Eric will go to BMW. We'll take pictures every single day and then meet up at the office and then to post on our Instagram and people want it. Obviously, we took pictures of the car ready. You know, so here's pictures of the car. It's what it looks like. When I drive it, come help you drive it.
So, social media really helped you guys.
Social media was our biggest platform to change the game.
Yeah. So, now I want the car. How do I test drive the car? at that point?
At that point, we got to bring it to the dealership because we have no trust yet.
Are you picking me up? Like, are we meeting each other?
No. That time, at that point, in the January, February 2018, we're meeting each other.
Okay.
You know, we're definitely meeting each other.
At the dealership?
At the dealership.
So why would all right. If somebody was saying, like, why not just buy directly from the dealership?
Why us? Yeah, exactly. That's a good question. I guess, to tell you the truth, it was our personality, the information that we came to you up front. Because sometimes when you go to dealerships, a lot of people, you could sit there for 6-7 hours going back and forth, spending almost half your day. Numbers change sometimes. When you agree with one person here, you go see the finance manager, you see a different number. And I know that because I was on that side of the field. So what we became is very transparent with our clients, very real, very in debt, you know, telling you exactly what it is. So when you get there, it's exactly what we promised you. So that's what we was offering.
They must have hated seeing y'all coming in.
I was going to ask.
These PTG guys, they didn't like us.
Prices are too damn good.
100%, yep.
So you never got like any backlash from like the other reps at the place? Like, why y'all letting these guys come in selling our product?
Of course, the salespeople. But the ownership was loving it. Because
they were helping them, right?
Yeah, because I'm taking product. I'm moving cars off your image. I'm moving your product. So why wouldn't you love? But salespeople was upset because how these sales guys don't even work here on the outside is allowed to come in and eat our food. That's how they're looking at it.
That's amazing. I've never heard of this before. This makes a lot of sense.
I didn't know. It sounds like it makes a lot of sense though. If you think about it, because it's like it's not selling anyway. So let me sell.
Let me take that off your hands.
Let me take it off your hands.
Okay. So all right. So then you scale, but at what point do you? All right, how much money are you making at that point in time? How much is the business making at that point when you first got your Regis office?
We're grossing probably like $30,000 a month, like very low, extremely low.
But that's not bad.
Yeah, well, 10 a piece?
Well,
gross.
No, but you're gross. You say you was putting 80% of the money back into the business.
Everything back in the business.
So you wasn't really netting. Well, how much were you netting? Like a couple, like 5,000, 4,000?
Yeah, we was putting everything back into the business, everything. They really changed November 2018 when one of my partners was going through family time with his passing of his father, and then he had to like go away for about a month to take care of his family. And it was really just me and Dave. And we decided to hire 3 people, you know, during that month while Eric was gone. And then when In that month, we really changed the game. Like, we hired 3 people. It was me, Eric, it was me and Dave, and we sold about 50 cars that month. We was like, oh, damn, like, we on to something. Mm. Before that, we was doing 20, 30. We sold 50 cars.
You hired them and taught them the skills?
Correct, yeah.
Hired salespeople?
Salespeople.
So, all right, how did that work when you hired your first salesperson? Because you still don't have you don't have inventory now. We'll talk about that. But you don't have any inventory. It's not like a regular salesperson when you hire to sell a product, so... How did that work when you hired your first salesperson, like where they don't have anything to really sell in the store?
Well, you got to sell them on your dream. And you got to really sell somebody on your vision. Remember, you only can see your vision yourself. Nobody can see it for you, you know? So they have to have that belief in you and belief into yourself that, hey, trust me on this. It's going to work. It's going to work. It's going to work. And based on our experience and knowledge and how we were progressing, they believed in us, you know? So that month, like I said, we did 50 cars. And then when Eric got back to us in December, we grew to now 60 and we started hiring more people. Mm. And now we've really seen how we're going to grow our scale. It's really employing and, you know, having employment, like really having people join you and to see the same vision you're on. And from there, just grew fast and rapidly, you know? And then we had an office, which was 300 square feet, only 2 desks, and having 7 salespeople.
So where they work out of home?
They will work on the road with us in the car or at the office.
Did they market the cars or like, so how did that work?
Yes, they had, we used the same model which helped us get here. We had everybody do it.
But they did it themselves.
Yeah. Like, they did themselves. Now you have to go to BMW, but it's now better because now instead of 3 people, now we have 7 people.
You did something. Ride the wave. And that's one of the things that a lot of our guests say is like the best thing they did is replicate themselves.
100%.
Right? We can't go to 100 stores in a day. No. But if we get 10 people, right, that know exactly what we want in the same vision, now they can go to 10 stores.
Correct.
And now we got the same amount of people going.
Correct. It's fundamentals of business that once again, all of our guests have the same story. You have to, it's all money in. You have to put money into the business. We've heard that from a variety of different guests. You have to put money, especially in the beginning stage, you have to put money into the business. And you need help. You can only go so far by yourself. A lot of times people try to skim on important things. And they don't want to hire anybody. They're trying to do everything themselves to save money, but you're going to stay small.
You're losing money. You're actually losing money by doing that. Remember, the more money that goes around, the more you grow, the more happy everybody is, the more people that see you. You know what I'm saying? So that's what, like, I have no problem. I would never do what do to other people what was done to me when I was employed at a dealership. I would never decide to change your plan and do it, especially when you're bringing us business and you're helping us grow. You know, that's, I would never do that to somebody.
So, are you paying these? Are you paying them money or a commission?
Commission. Everybody's commission. 100%
commission.
Yeah, unless you're like obviously like our staff, like my assistant. Like I have 4 people on salary. We have 57 people that work for us now.
Is it what's the commission? Is it the same for everybody or depends on how much you sell?
Well, it's on a scale because this is sales. Yeah. So it's on a scale. So the more you sell, the more you make. Mm-hmm. The less you sell, the less you make. Mm-hmm. So it's really all up to you.
Dope. So all right. And all right, so you start to, so when do you really hit your stride? Like you really start to just start sprinting on this thing?
First 100 car a month.
When was that?
That was in, our first 100 car a month was March 2019.
That's this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm listening to you say like when we started, I'm like, wait, that was just last year.
Yeah, it was quick.
So March, that's when you sold 100 cars.
March 2019, we sold 105 cars.
So when did you move into your new office that you're in now?
We moved in October, last month.
Oh, you just moved in?
We just moved in.
Oh, okay. So before that, you was in the Regis?
We was in the Regis. Still doing 170 cars, 160 cars.
In the Regis?
Yeah.
So why did you move into the new space? Just
to do more. You know, we finished off last month with a record month, 227 cars.
Wow.
227 cars.
In November 2017, we did 21. So within 2 years, what is that? What's the number on that? 10 times more, literally.
So you still, to this day, you don't have any inventory?
No.
You said off camera, you're like the Uber.
Uber Eats.
Yeah.
Of cars.
Correct.
So can you explain that business model? You did explain it, but now that you're bigger, it's the same exact thing?
Now it's a lot easier.
You have established relationships with dealerships now?
I have dealerships that call me out of town asking me to help them.
I have cars for you. Come get it.
Come please help. We'll see what you're doing.
We're not talking Honda Pilots anymore.
No, we're talking big cars.
Big time.
Rolls Royce Cullinans, because we have the clients and they see the clients coming to us.
That's a big boy.
So now they're calling us up like, yo, we have this Cullinan here. You know, like we have this. Can you help us out? Can you help us move these vehicles?
When you get a car like that, who's going to get that? Are you sending the work?
They're shipping the car to us on their expense.
How'd you get Meek Mill?
Instagram. Definitely. Yeah, Instagram. Meek Mill came to New York the same time the Lamborghini Urus came out, which is the Lamborghini truck.
Okay. Yeah.
Nobody had it. I was the first one to post the Lamborghini truck because obviously my Instagram is Lamborghini B.
Yeah.
So in order to sell a Lamborghini, you gotta have a Lamborghini. Nobody's gonna buy a Lamborghini for somebody driving a Toyota Camry.
That's a fact.
How are you gonna sell me something that you don't have?
Oh, so you had it yourself. You have it.
I have one.
No, you didn't have. Not the truck.
No, the truck.
No. I had the truck.
You had the truck?
Yeah, in New York before anybody had the truck.
What color you have?
Red.
You still have it?
No, it's sold.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't need it.
But you just got it.
Yeah, but I just got to let the world know if nobody else have it and I have it. So if I have it, I can show you how you could get it.
Okay. So you put the truck on Instagram before anybody else
has
it.
Post the truck on Instagram and everybody's DM and texting. Meek Mill comes into town about 2 days after and posts on his story. I'm in New York. Who has a Lamborghini truck? So a bunch of people send me his story like, yo, Meek's here. They know I got it.
Right.
So I go to Meek Mill's following. It's a marketing tip for anybody out there. I go to Meek Mill's following. I seen, because Meek Mill, if I DM, he's not following me. So he's not going to see my DM.
You saw who he was following.
See who I he was that. Following and who I was following because it's mutual.
Tell a story.
It's very important. Tell so that's a big marketing tip. So I see who he's following because if you go to anybody's following, it shows who they're following and who you're following. So I see Meek following about 7-8 bartenders who I follow and who I know. You know what I'm saying? That's go back to the urban. That's where I started from.
I want
to
shake your hand.
You know? They go, I see Meek Mill. I'm like, Meek is following her, her, and her? Come on. I DM them. These are girls I help put into big cars, big Mercedes-Benz when nobody could put them into.
Yeah.
So I hit up all my homegirls like, yo, I need your help. I need you to DM Meek. Because Meek is going to see your DM because he follows you. Fast, he's going to see my DM. My DMs are going to the trash side. Yeah. The request.
Plus 99.
The request. The plus 99. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I tell him to DM Meek. So think about it. I hit six girls up. Out of six girls, five of them DM Meek the same thing. Hit Lamborghini B. Hit Lamborghini. Hit Lamborghini B. Meek Mill's going to look at his phone and say, who the hell is Lamborghini B? Why is every girl that I'm following that, whatever the case may be, is telling me to holler this guy? Meek Mill DMs me.
What'd he say?
Within an hour.
Hey.
He DMs me. Yeah. I'm in town. I heard you got the truck. I said, yes, I do. He started following me. Boom. DMs me his number. I'm like, oh, gosh. Like,
showtime.
I'm about to speak to a guy who it's my top three favorite rapper of all time.
Ever?
Ever.
Okay.
Ever. I'm born 92. I'm 27 years old.
That makes sense.
That's Meek is my guy.
Fair enough.
So I'm like, damn, I'm about to speak to Meek. So I don't even know how to speak to Meek. So I spoke to Meek. He was like, I'm in town. I want to see the truck right now. Pull up to the studio. And so I pulled up to the studio with the truck. And then from there, it was just history after that.
And he just brought it?
Yeah. Well, he ordered one because he wanted yellow.
Okay.
He wanted yellow. So we got the truck for him within 48 hours after that.
And you still got a relationship with him to this day?
Yeah, still to this day.
So that's a great story. And that's great because I actually do the same thing. Like if I see somebody that I want to reach out to that has like a large following, I know that 9 times out of 10, they're not going to see my DM. So I do exactly what you just said. I'll go to see who they're following and who is mutual. Because always, especially as
somebody
once
mutual.
You start to get enough followers, you always got one mutual
somebody's
person.
Mutual.
There's always somebody that's mutual. So then I say, okay, this is mutual. I know him. He knows him. I'll reach out to him. Can you make this introduction for me?
Correct.
That's brilliant. And I'm glad you said that because—
but at the end of the day, too, I mean, to cut you off, but that person on the other side really got to, like— because it's up to them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not even up to you no more. Like, you gave them that faith. Like, you gave them the alley. So it's really up to them to help close the deal. So, like, that's why we got to really do good business. You know, because if you don't do good business, you will not be able to get these referrals and clients from other people. Because they're putting their name on the line for you.
So, all right. So then you take pictures with Meek and all that and post on your Instagram.
Correct.
And then so now all these car dealerships are seeing you and they're building your Instagram, your personal brand and the car brand.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying, okay, these guys, they got the athletes, they got the rappers, they got all the entertainers. We need to reach out to them.
Correct.
Which helps you develop relationships with. Now you don't have to sell 90-day-old cars. Now you can sell regular cars.
Now we sell everything. Now I get cars like, for example, the G-Wagon. We call that car the
it's
unicorn.
Tough. Yeah, it's tough.
I got them.
How much?
I got them.
How much?
I got them. Just let me know. I have them. Depending on what you want to do with the 550 or 63.
We went to the dealership, and they were like, yo, back order, 6 months.
I have them.
We'll talk off.
I have them. I was one of the first person to deliver one in New York to Jizzy Doll, which is another big popular bartender. You know, she has one, a white one, white with red. I'm delivering another one this week.
Bartenders are very influential. We know a few, but...
I don't know what Shai's talking about.
No, Troy's talking about. No. All right, we'll edit that out. But, all right, so, bartenders are very influential people in New York City because there's nearly no clubs anymore. If you're not familiar with New York City, they shut down all the clubs, and they're shutting down a lot of gentlemen clubs
too. Gentlemen clubs are done, yeah.
But the dancers aren't really as popular as they are in the South. The bartenders are
star tenders now.
Yeah, the bartenders. That's what
shout out to A Boogie.
Uh-huh. A Boogie, another client of ours too, as well.
Yeah. That's a little off topic, but shout out to all the bartenders. So, all right. So how'd you get the spot in, okay. So you just opened up your location.
My second location in New York.
What's the first location?
Was Manhasset.
Oh, that's the one. No,
the Regis office, correct.
Oh, that's the Regis office. That was our first location. You still have that?
Well, we still have it because I have my assistant sometimes over there.
Okay. So the offices that you have in L.A. and Miami, do you have offices or?
I have an office in L.A. and I have an office in Miami. Don't have storefronts there yet, but that's coming in 2020.
Yeah, you have like just regular office space.
Yes, office space.
And you have people work. How many people do you have working in L.A.?
11.
How many people in Miami?
Because I partnered up with somebody in L.A.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Miami too, partner?
No, Miami is just straight us.
How many people you got working in Miami?
7.
You got a manager there, or?
Yeah, one man, sales director.
Sales director?
Yeah.
So, all right, this is actually very interesting. This is actually a very interesting conversation because you have car dealerships, but you don't have any cars.
Nope.
That's like
same
most
thing like with, I say with Uber. Uber doesn't own any of their
Airbnb,
cars.
Same thing.
Yeah, they don't own. Amazon doesn't own any of their products. These are all resourced out. It's all through your resources.
So you've done that model. Was that like the mindset? Like, I've seen this company, right? They have no infrastructure, but they have
as of right now, to this day, I got offered dealerships from manufacturers and also offers from dealers that people that own dealerships to partner up to own a store. I don't want to own a store. I really don't want to own a store because then I'm limited to one brand.
You know what the biggest hotel chain brand in the world is?
It's got to be Airbnb.
Airbnb.
Yeah.
The biggest taxi franchise.
Yeah, we know that. Uber. We know that.
Yeah.
All of these guys don't own any inventory.
Nothing.
And that's what I'm saying. Y'all did that naturally, or was that the mindset going in?
No, that was the mindset going in. Like, I don't want to own anything. Yeah. Because if you own, for example, you own a Toyota dealership, right? And somebody comes into you, for example, Toyota Camry. Customer wants a Toyota Camry, but on their mind, they have a comparable cars. They're looking for Toyota Camry, Hyundai Sonata, or Honda Accord.
Yeah.
When they walk into Toyota, that salesperson has to sell them a Camry. You're going to try to bash the Honda Accord. You're going to bash the Sonata. Even though you know Accord might be a better car, but you're going to bash those cars just to sell a Camry. So that person selling your car, how could you really trust them? Are they in the best interest of you or for themselves to make money off you to sell you a car?
Great point.
When you come to PTG 365, it's whatever you want. I'm going to sell you on the best program and the best bang for your dollar. So I'm going to tell you, hey, the Honda Accord is this amount a month. Camry is this amount. The Hyundai is this amount. This is what this features. These are what you're going to get. You choose. It's up to you. And I'm going to help you with any three you want. And I'm going to deliver that car to you within 40 hours to your office, the restaurant, to your wedding, to your home, to anywhere you want. I'm going to give that opportunity to you. I'm going to lay it out. That's why people come to us, because I'm not just here to sell you a car. I'm here to sell you also a lifestyle and help you to make a decision, you know, on any model that you want.
So you're not really making that much money off of cars, but you're selling a lot of cars.
We're selling a lot of cars. And by selling a lot of cars, you start tapping into different markets. You start tapping into different venues and different businesses, because all of our clients is something different. So we're creating we're creating opportunities. We're creating new businesses. You know, like, we're going into next year with now opening up a body shop. You know, we have a mobile wash. You know, we're shooting right now for a TV show. So this is opening a lot of different avenues and ventures. So it's bigger than cars. That's why if you look at our logo, there's no car. There's no car. You look at brokers, they all have a car, 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 car. It even says auto leasing, blah, blah, blah. We're PTG 365. It has nothing, doesn't say nothing about sales, say nothing about leasing, nothing about buying, because it's a lifestyle. It's something different.
It's true. But y'all not just all high end, right?
No, like, we sell everything.
Y'all help not just high clientele clients, but you help low income clients too.
Lower income client, lower incomes. And we understand that because I'm from a working class neighborhood, and I'm from a working class home, you know? So we definitely understand that. We have multiple programs for a lot of people as well.
We're gonna talk about that in the next segment. But the last question that I had is, all right, so you said you make the car buying experience different for the car buyers, and you also make the selling experience different for the salespeople. So can you walk me through that? Like, if I'm regular Joe Schmo off the street and I wanna buy a Honda Accord, I don't have money for a Lamborghini. I'm coming to your office, you don't have any inventory, so I'm telling you, this is my budget. Can you like walk me through like what the sales process is?
Well, I'm gonna get your budget. I'm also gonna get, right now we have a system which is soft pull, which is amazing because a lot of people like to run their credit because of inquiries and whatnot.
Right, right.
And with our system, it's a soft pull, so there's no inquiry. So I can run your credit right now from my phone, mobile. I don't have to be at the dealership. I can run it right now, literally right here, and I can pull up your credit score and there's no inquiry, so you're trusting me because now it's not hurting you. So I'm gonna look at your credit, look at your income as well, and put you into the best car, because I'm also going to protect you, but I'm also going to protect the bank, because I'm not going to put you in something that you can't afford and it's going to hurt you a year and a half from now. A lot of dealerships are ran like that. A lot of dealerships don't do that. And because what's going on, a lot of dealerships don't know what's going on with their salespeople. Salespeople are trying to just sell a car just to make a lot of money, but they're actually hurting the client because you're putting the client to a car they really can't afford. And what's going to happen a year from now when a client gets a repo, it's going to hurt the dealership because the bank is going to come to you. So you know this customer only makes $4,000 a month before tax. Coming home, they're making $2,800, but they have bills. Why are you giving a customer a $700 payment? I'm not even going to put you in that situation. I'm going to help you build with a $200 to $300 payment. So a year, year and a half from now, if you make more income or whatever the case may be and your credit score is better, we can help put you into your next dream car. Yeah. So we're actually here for you. You know, I'm here for the long run. Like I said, I'm 27 years old. Majority of people that work for me is 25 and under. You know, so they're going to be here forever. So
I just thought of something when you said that, right? You established relationship with dealerships, but how about the relationship with the banks?
With the banks. The banks are the most important. Yeah, the dealers are the middlemen to the banks.
Right.
You know, like we're establishing our relationship with the manufacturers. Like that's where we're with the manufacturers and the banks. At the end of the day, it's their money. They're put on the line. So I'm establishing my relationship with them, showing them how we could protect your investment into the clients. And I'm showing the clients how I'm going to protect you with the bank.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Troy. Because, like, yeah, so you have, like, when they lease a car, buy a car, that has to come from the bank. And, like, so, like, if you have a, like, Mercedes has their own bank, right?
Mercedes has their own bank.
Lexus.
Yep. Lexus, Toyota, same company. They have their own bank.
So, all right. So how does that work for you guys since you're independent? Like, what you use one bank or you use a couple different
banks? I use every single bank in the U.S.
How many banks are you working with?
About 170. So I'm throughout the U.S. I'm not just New York. So I'm throughout the U.S. So I get you loans with banks that's in Ohio that New York dealerships don't have access to.
Yeah. I read something where you said that you do credit matching with banks. So, like, if I have 800 credit score, you know what bank you're going
to get. I already know what banks.
If I have a 400 credit score, you already know
what banks. I know banks, yeah.
So how you develop a relationship with the banks?
I mean, now it's a lot easier because they know who we are.
Well, before that, like originally.
Before there was, you really, take you before, you had to, we established by doing new cars first. By establishing with new car dealerships. New cars, because obviously I worked in a new car franchise. And I was a finance director, so my name was high into the new car industry. So I basically leveraged off my name and who I was.
Okay. And then once you became bigger, you reached out to banks individually or?
We reached out to banks, yeah. By picking up the phone and letting them know what we're doing and how could we expand your business as well. Because a lot of people here are working class, you know, we're working class people. So we work 9 to 5, 9 to 6, 9 to 7. Some people have 2 jobs, 9 to 9. They don't have time to go to the dealership all day and sit around. So I'm telling the banks, let me do your legwork for you and you could just earn on your side. It's a win-win.
Okay. So in the next segment, in the last segment, we're going to go into the community give back aspect of it because you guys got a lot of good things going in different programs and things of that nature. So we're going to get into that next. All right. So in the last segment, we're going to talk about some really cool things that you guys got going on. Because in business, a lot of times we get wrapped up in making money. But the thing I like about you guys is it's not all about the money. You got a lot of different things. So you got a program in place for single mothers.
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
So what we do for single mothers is that we have two options for you. Where we have a no down payment option where you don't need no money down to get the vehicle. Or your first 90 days of no payments. I mean, like, you don't have to pay a car payment till for the next 90 days to help you get on your feet and get everything intact. And we're also going to make sure that we put you in an affordable car because we don't want to hurt your credit. Don't want to just sell your car to make some money, and the next thing you know, you get a repo. That's going to hurt us and hurt you.
And that's for any single mom?
Any single mother.
Yeah, y'all launched
the U.S.
Oh, in the U.S. Y'all launched that on Mother's Day this year? Or was it the year?
I think, no, we launched this year.
Okay.
This year, and it was huge for us. So we did a lot of single mothers, and it was just amazing. You know, like, it's like you're talking about not for the money. Like, your purpose in life has to be bigger than money.
Yeah.
Because you can only go so far by chasing money. It's only going to bring you so far. When your purpose is bigger than that and you actually have that and you're actually touching people's lives and help changing, that's the true meaning, you know? Because the world is going to just bring you more.
Now, you know what's crazy too is it might sound corny to somebody that's not really, doesn't really know this, but it's true. you'll make more money too. Like when you're chasing your purpose, you'll make more money than you're just chasing a check.
100%. Because people tell me, like, you're chasing money. Money is not invisible. It's not an invisible man or woman that we're chasing around trying to find. Money's here to be made. It's here.
Yeah.
You just got to go make it. But when you deliver a great service and a great product and great customer satisfaction, it's going to come. Word's going to get out. The money is going to come to you. Like, think about it. Like, when you're successful, success comes to you. People only want to work with successful people. You don't wake up every day and say, I want to work with this guy because he's a bum. I want to work with this guy because he's not doing nothing. No, you want to work with people and do stuff with people because they're successful at what they do. And that's the reason why I tell you the truth that I'm even here with you guys, or you guys even here with me, because of success of what you guys did with your company, and I commend you on that. Because if you guys wasn't successful, I would have just looked at it like, nah, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And if you guys looked at me like, hey, this guy's not doing nothing, I don't want him on here.
That's a fact.
Think about it. So success breeds success.
Yeah.
That's true.
One of the things that make you guys unique is you have a credit repair service, restoration service.
Credit restoration.
And you all actually do your own auto insurance? Is that true?
Or
you
we refer other people to auto brokers, to auto people who do auto insurance, but credit repair and financial education is what we do. Mm-hmm. And financial education, I'll tell you the truth, is totally for free.
How does that look? Do y'all go to people's homes?
We go to seminars.
Okay.
We go to seminars, which we don't charge for anything. You know, we go to seminars, and we did a lot of public high schools this year. We just finished doing our first university, which was William Patterson University out in Jersey.
Okay.
And for nothing, for not a dollar, it's just to really give you the information back on what you should know. Because I always look at it as if I had this information at 21, 20 years old, 19, 18, I can imagine where I would have been at 27. And I say I'm blessed and happy where I'm at now, but I want better for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you're my age, I want you to be better than who I am. That's why we give these knowledge
to a lot of people. That's the goal.
People understand that. Like we're supposed to make everybody else better. If I'm not making you better, or if you're not making me better, you shouldn't be around. You got to wake up with that purpose. Like, who lives are you touching today that you're going to make better?
That's a fact. Yeah. And so how does that credit situation work? Like, you have, like, a credit specialist in-house?
Yeah, we have a credit specialist in-house that we use. And also the knowledge of just, like, sometimes truth is so small. It's so easy. But we don't know this because it was never taught. Mm. You know, think about it. In these inner city communities, like, your parents have bad credit because sometimes your parents wasn't born here. They just came here, so they don't know nothing about credit. So if your parents don't know nothing about credit, how are you supposed to know anything about credit? You're gonna grow up not knowing. So you're gonna not pay this, not pay this. Oh, it's okay to pay late, it's not a problem, but no, it's not. You know what I'm saying? So now we're teaching you what to do and what not to do, because we already learned from it, from our past and whatnot. You know, so how to establish yourself. And it's learning from me, myself too. Like, you know, like 2 years ago, I had a 580 credit score. Now I have an 850.
And it helps your business too, because ultimately, you know, you develop long-term customers, and the higher credit scores, the better, you know, customers they are.
And it's easier to get you into a car with no money down. Yeah. No money down. We're getting calls left and right because you established credit.
Yeah, and you're helping their credit, right? If you think about it, if I have a 400 score and you can find in your bank that's going to allow me to get a loan, obviously you're looking out for my best interest. You're going to get me in a low payment. As I pay on that car, my credit will increase.
100%. Can you get a lot of people? I'll come in, I want to get a Benz, I want to get the Beamer, I want to get the foreign, but I got a 400 credit score. See, it's not going to happen like that. You got to build yourself.
Yeah.
You got to sometimes make sacrifices in order to be successful, and that's the name of the game. So here I'm going to help you. I'm going to put you in a first-time buyer's program or a forgiveness program. You're going to get this car, you're going to build, you're going to pay on time, you're going to reestablish yourself with the bank. With these banks. So now when you're ready to get the BMW or Benz, I can sell to my people at Benz or BMW in the bank. Hey, this guy reestablished himself. Forget about the past. He paid on time for the last 18 months, $400 a month on this car. Let's give him this opportunity to pay $550 a month to this Benz. Trust me, he has it. And now you got the opportunity. Now your whole life changes from there.
No, that's dope. But then you got the you got something big coming up with Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
We can talk about that?
Huge, 100%. I'm actually excited for that. I was waiting. I was so upset last year we didn't get a chance to do this. So I said, next year, there's no way I'm missing out. So we're giving out 500 turkeys to the five boroughs of New York City. We're picking we're picking one public house or one community in every borough in New York City. And we're asking New York residents to help us out. Because obviously we don't know every community that needs assistance. Mm-hmm. So we're asking everybody to just comment on our Instagram page under comments and just drop the name. Whether it's a community or whether it's a public house, like just drop the name. So we're going to go during the week of Thanksgiving. We're going each day. We're going to go to the community or the public house and give out 100 turkeys and as well spend a couple hours and give free credit and free financial literacy to people in these communities for free. We're just giving it out. And we're not asking for no donation. I'm not asking you to come help us out. I'm just asking you just to name. Send a name so I can go there. And the names that we see, the most common names, that's where we're going. We're only picking five. Dope. You know, we give out 100 turkeys to the families in need.
And 100 in each borough.
100 in each borough. 500 in total.
What day is that?
Week of Thanksgiving.
Oh, week of Thanksgiving. Okay.
Yeah.
So like Monday so starting
could
be the Bronx.
We're starting from Sunday because we're doing five boroughs. Because Thanksgiving falls on a Thursday.
Yeah.
So we're doing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
What day are you going to announce it?
Well, we're going to announce the place where we're going that Friday. Friday before the Sunday.
Okay.
So whatever. So start just hitting the names. Just DM us or just list it on the comments, you know, on our PTG365 on our page under the video. And then we're going to pick the most common names we see and we're going to start hitting those places on that Sunday.
Dope.
Give back. That's powerful, man.
Yeah, congratulations on that for sure. And you got something on Netflix that's coming up, right?
Yeah, so we have a big show. It's called Driven. We're actually shooting now. We're actually filming. So if I'm out and you see me with a big camera and a camera crew next to me, just know what's going on.
So how'd you get the Netflix deal? I'm interested to know about that. How'd that come about?
It's Snapchat and Netflix. So it came from Big Fish.
Big Fish is an agency?
Yeah, it's an agency. It's an entertainment. So I didn't even know how big. I didn't even know like Snapchat. I mean, we all know about Netflix, stuff like that. Yeah. We know how Snapchat even had TV.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't know that until now. They have 200 million subscribers.
Snapchat.
So they have 10 to 20 million per show. 10 to 20 million. Remember, Snapchat is global. Netflix was cool, but the Snapchat is global.
Where does it come on at?
On your phone, on Snapchat.
Snapchat has TV?
So it's
go to your Snapchat, you go to the right. Yeah. I didn't even know about it. I have Snapchat. You go to the right, and it shows you the Snapchat shows. Mm.
Oh.
10 to 20 million subscribers is on each show, which is beyond amazing. So we're filming now. We air in February. So we're also hiring now because we know the traffic that's going to come from that show.
Yeah.
You know, right now we're doing 200 cars a month. What do you think we're going to do in April 2020? About 500 cars a month.
Things going to look different.
It's going to be a lot different.
Yeah. They reached out to you or?
They reached out to us. Big Fish found us through the Essence magazine.
Okay.
Yeah. They found us through the Essence magazine and they grabbed us like that. They say, we see what you guys are doing, which is amazing because the bigger picture for us is that, yes, we live this lifestyle that a lot of people see. You know, the Lamborghinis, the traveling, the private jets. But at the end of the day, we're businessmen. So I want to show to a lot of kids growing up that you could live the lifestyle that you see on TV and not only have to rap, not only have to sing, not have to dance, not have to be a ball player, just to live that lifestyle. And I think that we're so caught up in that is that we see these role models, but on TV. So we see like, we only can rap to do this. We don't have to do this. No, bro, like you could live your dream and be the best you that you can be. Like be number one in your field. I'm not telling you come sell cars.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you do real estate. I could tell you here some come sell cars, be with us, but that might not be fit for you. You know, so be you at whatever it is, but be number one. Be that person. You know what I'm saying? So what we're doing with this, PTG 365 is going to be the one to set the trend for the auto game in history. Like, we're number one. We're the first auto brokers to have a show. You know, Instagram already told us that we're going to be the first auto brokers to be verified on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be the first. Like, I'm just trying to set the trend. So, and the trend is to just be you, whatever the case may be, but be number one at what you do. Just be number one at what you do.
That's valuable. You mentioned the Jets. Speaking of the Jets, I saw somewhere that's next for y'all. Jets and yachts and all
that? Yeah, we're on to Jets next year. Jets, real estate.
Selling Jets.
Brokering Jets, yeah. Not we're actually going to be selling Jets. Like, not to just put you on a jet. We're going to be selling Jets. Yeah, so that's tapping into a whole new different clientele.
Absolutely.
And that comes, remember, when you sell a big car, when I sell a Rolls Royce Cullinan, takes a certain type of income to drive that car.
Yeah, exactly.
So now when I tap into that person who's driving that car, who does he know? Or who is he working for? Remember, the person that cut his check is not driving a Rolls Royce Cullinan. He's flying a G550.
Mm.
So that's tapping into a whole new tapping into a whole new market.
Yeah, yeah.
That we're excited for.
Levels. It's levels.
There are levels. That's
and you gotta keep on going. You can't just stop.
Yeah. That's a fact. So all right. So what's the scaling model? I know you say you want $15 million in revenue by next year. So more locations or more employees, a combination of both?
Some more cities.
Definitely more employees. Like that's first. Like employment is first. Like I love growing. I really love growing. I really love help changing lives. Like that's to me, that's most one of the most. That's the most amazing thing you could do in this world because there's two type of people you forget. I mean, two type of people you don't forget. People that did bad to you, and people that did good for you. You forget the in between. You know, mm-hmm. You forget the in between. You always remember the good and the bad. So, growing with employees and expanding to cities, Atlanta. We are coming. Atlanta, ATL, we are coming. Like, I'm going to Atlanta personally. Like, I'm going to be there in Atlanta.
We're coming with you.
Yeah, because New York is already, we're growing in New York. You know, we're fast. New York already got the idea, our motto. There's so much more to take over, but it's moving. Eric and Dave, y'all say New York, I'm going to Atlanta. I'm going to Atlanta. I'm saying this right now. 2020 summer, we will be in Atlanta, hands down. Get ready.
There you have it. There you have it, people.
Nah, yeah, ready.
That was powerful, man. I appreciate you coming in. Thank you. That was very powerful.
No, I want to thank you guys giving me the opportunity to come here and to share and give this free knowledge out.
Free game. That's a fact.
You know what
that's
I'm saying?
A fact.
To give this knowledge out to people.
So how can people, if people want to buy a car or if people want employment, how can they contact you guys?
PTG365, we have four numbers that's up there that we answer 24/7. So we have you can DM the page and it's being answered 24/7. So you can call us, DM us, email, show up to our office, which is 453 Hempstead Turnpike, West Hempstead, New York. We're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to midnight.
Word.
Dealerships close at 9, by the way. We open 9 a.m. to midnight. And, you know, and Sundays we're open too as well. Sundays we open at 11 and we close at 9. You know, we're Sundays watching Power together. We watch Power together and sell cars. Like if you come to our location, we have a lounge. You know, it's exciting.
I'm gonna pull up.
Yeah, no, we definitely pulling up.
Summertime, you can play ball in the backyard. Like we're making it something exciting.
Oh, speaking about playing ball.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you said that. So if anybody listens to the podcast, you know that me and Troy are very fond of the Dykeman tournament. They treat us like royalty out there, man. Every time we go, they give us VIP treatment. They big fans of the podcast.
We'd be remiss.
Yeah. So, being that we said that,
real quick, VIP treatment. What's VIP treatment when you go over there? By the way,
We get Skybox.
Skybox. All right, next time you come, you're on the floor with me.
Okay.
Real VIP treatment.
They put us behind like the scores table.
No. I need y'all next to
it. It gets crazy on the floor, though.
No.
But you gotta feel that energy. That's Dykeman. That is Dykeman. You gotta feel that energy. I need you on the floor with me.
I love it.
Feel the Dykeman.
Oh, we coming. We coming.
This is street basketball. It's not going to guard. You want to sit up, skybox. No. We ain't doing that. We touching the streets, urban. You know.
Ah, I told you, I like this guy. I like him, man.
Spoken like a true champion.
So
you don't let them know.
So with that being said, you guys are champions?
Champions in our first year.
First year
let it be known.
Championship.
Yes.
Who were some of the players that you had on your team?
NBA, Isaiah Whitehead. NBA, Lance Stevenson.
Yeah.
NBA, Shamari Pons.
Yes.
NBA, Gary Forbes. Street ball legend, and obviously in college right now, NCAA, Isaiah Washington, which you know is Jelly Fam himself. Which wasn't playing for us game one.
Yeah,
I took him from another team, brought him out to Starlitz. After that, it was back to the urban. You see what I say? Back to the urban lifestyle where I'm from. After that, it was over.
You with us? This is the real birdie, yo.
You know what I'm saying? I'm real. And then I'm not gonna lie. After this, after our first experience in Dykeman, get ready for PTG Sports Management.
Mm.
Get ready.
Yeah.
Get ready, America, because right now we got a lot of ties, I got a lot of contacts, and I don't play with them. And the reason why we're growing is very important. I hope everybody hears this, because we decide to partner up with people. We don't do things on our own. So everything we do, we partner up, because a lot of things that you know that I don't know, and we want to do this together to grow the brand. So we're partnering up. So if you got any ideas or ventures, let's make it happen. Because I'm a serious guy. I'm not married. I'm not married. I'm single.
By the way.
So I'm ready to go. It's go time.
Let's Come on, go time. Let's do it. Let's do it, man. All right. We got to talk then. Yeah. We got to talk then for sure.
So, yeah. So, like I said, yeah, we were champions.
Dykeman, champions.
Yeah, champions. The first year.
Coming back?
Nobody.
You gotta come back now, because you said we gonna hang out with you guys.
Yeah. How
are
we gonna come to the court? We're pulling up in Lambos to Dykeman, by the way.
Double part. If you haven't been to New York, you need to come to Dykeman. It's a culture within itself. They got the nutcrackers. They got the. It's a whole vibe.
Be careful with the nutcrackers, bro. Yeah. One. Just have one.
Herbs in the air.
It's hard to explain. New York City street balls. It's a culture. It's a culture within itself.
It's a culture, definitely. Definitely.
You never know who might come.
Yeah.
It's a whole vibe. So you got to come back. You can't just do one and done. You can't do a Jay-Z Rucker thing. You
got
to, like.
I mean, I already got the drop that, you know, because you got a couple big names that just came to New York, you know. So next year, obviously, Kyrie's still going to be in Brooklyn.
That's a fact.
And if you go to Kyrie's, who he follows, back to who he follows, Kyrie follows Isaiah Whitehead and Isaiah Washington.
Yeah.
And, you know, Isaiah Whitehead and Isaiah Washington does play for PTG 365. So next year.
And Kyrie played at Dykeman before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So did KD.
He showed up this summer. He was in Brooklyn. Yeah. He just showed up.
He showed up this summer.
Next year, he gonna have a jersey on.
Yeah.
One or two games.
Well, KD played.
KD did play. But Kyrie got to play. Kyrie got to play now. Now he's in Brooklyn. He has to do it for the culture.
It's only right.
What?
For the culture. Gotcha.
Stay tuned. This year we brought a lot of surprises. We brought Lance Stevenson. People didn't know. So
yeah. Now we were actually at the game when Jelly Fan came. He didn't have a great game, but no, y'all won.
How do you feel about the court situation? It got a little crazy.
It does get crazy, but
they need to have some barriers.
No, because that was because it's something.
It's like a half a court. Like
it is. But that's what makes Dykeman excited. That's the excitement. The culture is different.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, what is that? Yeah. People on the court experiencing this, running around, the chairs, the
crazy
fans.
Part is that the refs always trying to, like, yo, get back. Like, yo, shut up, man. Just keep reffing the game.
Yeah, you can't stop it.
D-Milo. Shout out to all the Dominicans uptown, man.
D-Milo. It was big.
All right, man. Nah, so, all right. Well, you made the promise, so we'll take you up on your offer.
Absolutely.
Next summer, absolutely. We're getting the real VIP.
No, yeah, we're coming back. We're defending our title, 100%.
Birdie in the flesh. Birdie
100%.
In the flesh.
The real birdie.
The real birdie. Troy, housekeeping items?
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. We got a long list, y'all. So, I was remiss to mention somebody last time from our Chicago visit. Sherry, I do apologize. I had your name. I didn't shout you out. She let me this whole message like, yo, how you going to do me like that? Yeah. So, Sherry, thank you for your support. Danny, Kwame, Damali, Marcio, Robert, Tevin, Jespin, April, Donald, Shari, Martin, and who's this down here? Asia. Thank you all for joining Patreon over the past few weeks. Obviously, you know, there's five tiers there. You can join any tier. And there's a lot of perks. Like, we just launched our EYL University, so be on the lookout. Every Wednesday, we'll be sending you, you know, our tier 4 and 5 members the link to view our webinars. And everybody that's been getting the merch on earnyourleisure.com, we have our crew neck. Shai's wearing the crew neck. I got the hoodie on. We're going to be launching our earner shirt very shortly. And the Scully's is coming too, man.
Scully's getting cold in New York.
It's cold in New York, God. Mm-hmm. Can't zone hard. So all that's going to be up on the site. And yeah, keep hitting up earnyourleisure.com for all our new things. Like we said, our events tab will give you all the details for our DC event. You don't want to miss that.
Yeah, the DC event, once again, the quick rundown. We're doing a workshop on Saturday, December 7th, with Mobile Homes Elite and Wall Street Trapper at Top Golf, catering it. And then on Sunday, December 8th, we have our very first live podcast at Capital One Arena. And then afterwards, we have a private networking event. And then after that, we have tickets to everybody that comes to the podcast, gets to go to the Wizards Clippers game. Want to pull up? Yeah. Let us know. Yeah.
And they got to act fast too, right? Those tickets.
Yeah, those
are
tickets.
Limited.
That's limited. That's extremely limited. So if you want to go, then hit the link in the bio under the events tab, and then also EYL University. EYL University is a dope platform, educational platform, and it's interactive. Where we have classes almost every other day. My guy MG, the mortgage guy, is going to class for us every single Monday, on different real estate topic. And then every Wednesday we have different topics from everything from life insurance to being a real estate agent to notary business, yeah. Everything.
Shout out to Andre.
And then Friday, me and you going to do something.
Yeah.
And then starting in January, we're going to have EYL Espanol. Yeah, every Thursday is going to be Spanish. We got a whole vibe going. Yeah, EYL University is a new wave. So check that out. Also, you can live stream. You can live stream the event on the 7th with Mobile Home and Wall Street Trapper. It's like $15. It's almost free. So, yes, thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.